Very good, boy.
What are you yapping about?
Just leave me in the car with the window open a crack.
There's something wrong with this hearing aid. It's a trap!
Go.
Got it? Hey, we're back again. Bob and Scott,
the old man podcast. Can you get that right, Scott?
Yeah, we just got done recording our latest episode on clothes and fashion, and we're sitting here talking about what can we do next, and we start talking about comedy and how different comedy is now compared to back when we were young. It's such a great topic, and the things that we're sitting here, you know, bullshitting about, it's perfect. It's absolutely perfect. You were just saying, what were you just talking about?
Oh, sure. When comedians goes to a college campus. You know, comedians, you know, people that are, you know, younger, you know, in the circuit, they go to college campuses. And college campuses used to be a place where comedians will go in and just, you know, let it rip. They would take it. There's no rule.
Because there was no rules. They're just talking to a bunch of drunk college students.
You know, free speech on college campuses was something that was welcome. It used to be. Yeah. And no matter which, you know, you could argue on both sides of the political divide, but that we're going to leave it right there. But here's the thing. Comedians work to the bleeding edge. They work to see how far they can push about things in popular culture.
Yes.
Politics, relationships, you name it, they talk about it. But now, and just we've read articles about it where comedians will go on and they will, you know, they will talk to whatever departments and universities that say, yeah, we're going to book, you know, these, you know, music acts and comedians, whatever. And the comedians, they say, yeah, well, I'm going to, you know, going to come up here. I'm going to do this, you know, these two shows and that we're good. Right. Well, yes, we like your stuff. We've seen your stuff on YouTube. And well, we just want to make sure that you don't touch on these topics. So,
yeah,
is that censorship? Is that trying to make sure that, you know, little snowflakes on both sides of the equation aren't going to get offended? I completely disagree with that. Comedians are there to be funny. The joke, you know, they are there to be funny. If it offends you, that's kind of the point. And if you don't want to consume this stuff, then don't go.
Yeah, Cisco's, if you're offended, here's an idea. Get off your fat ass and walk
out.
It happens.
If it's all bothering the time, you, and there are comedians on both sides of the range, you know, from all, you know, the entire spectrum, where their comedy or their brand of comedy, style of comedy, and things that they're talking about aren't going to resonate with an audience. So,
wasn't there something called freedom of speech?
Okay. No, well, there's things.
Or am I making that up?
Called freedom of speech. However, the freedom of speech, as it's, you know, written in the Constitution, is saying that government can't, you know, squash your free speech rights. So if you are in something and the government comes in and says you can't say that, that is Article 2 of the Constitution. As far as free speech is concerned, going into college campuses and saying these are private institutions, they can set their own rules. But why set the rule is what I'm asking.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look at Facebook. If you say something that Facebook doesn't like,
right. They and put do you know why Facebook they put you prison. In Facebook prison? Well, they because don't like they it, don't but there's like community it. Standards. And you have signed, when you signed on to these private platforms, which are owned by a corporation, you sign a... there is a disclosure that you sign of use of that platform. They can change the rules anytime they want, but there are rules that you agree to. If you don't want to agree to those rules, then get off the platform.
Well, that would mean that you'd have to actually read all the,
well, you could, it used to be a little bit more freewheeling on Facebook, and from somebody who's been in Facebook jail multiple times, I can speak from experience. Oh, hell yeah.
You? Oh, yes. Okay, How have I not been in Facebook jail and you have? How was that even possible?
So if there are special words that used to be able to be used, no longer. If there are special phrases that used to be able to be used, no longer. You cannot say the phrase white people. You can't, or black people, because whatever adjective is in front of that, that could be offensive to somebody else. So the community standards have changed. That's to cut down on the colorful metaphors that we all know and love. So,
So what do we call white people now?
Or W H Y T E.
Yeah. Okay.
You have to be careful. Shaded. You can't engage like that anymore on Facebook. You haven't been able to do it for a while. You could say something completely innocent that was written someplace else that you're just repeating, and the algorithm is going to pick it up. It's not people looking at this. It's computer programming language. So,
right. So a computer is telling us what we can and can't say.
Community standards.
Yeah. Well, that's crap. That irritates
that I don't mind. But the fact that, college campuses, which should be a free vessel of ideas, and even the most, heinous people that go on there on both sides of the equation that want to go in there and engage with people, and maybe their ideas are completely batshit, I will defend their ability to actually go out and engage that audience. You should be able to say whatever you want.
Look at the comedians back in the 70s.
George Carlin.
Remember Red Fox? Sanford and Son, Red Fox? That guy was the biggest racist prick I've ever heard in my life. Yeah. He was hilarious.
George Carlin.
I love listening to him.
Was a, in the early 60s, he had, short hair. He played clean comedy. And then he decided to say, I think I'm going to go in a different direction. And he did. And long hair, the seven dirty words you can't say on television or radio. And he got a following.
I know. It's too, now everything has gone so conservative and politically correct. And I don't understand how a group of people thinks that they have the right to tell other people you can and can't say this.
Yeah.
That drives me nuts. That's called socialism.
But
let's not get into that. I'm a very broad term. That could bring us down a rabbit hole.
The idea is that as far as expression, thoughts, ideas, there should be forms for these. And as I said, it can go on anything across the spectrum. I've said that multiple times, but you should be able to express that stuff. And if it's that bad and people don't like it, guess what? It will no longer be consumed and that person will no longer have the audience. They may find other places to do it.
Yeah.
Like on podcasts, they can do whatever they want. Different social channels will allow that type of topics, and that's fine. If you find an audience and they grew to that, no matter if it's the biggest lie on the face of the planet, it doesn't help society, but they can express it without the government telling them that they can't. That's fine.
Absolutely. I mean, how many times, believe it or not, I have offended people by things that have come out of my mouth, where I stuck my foot in my mouth.
He
just raised his hand.
No,
I do that every other day.
I may think it.
Shit comes out of my mouth that afterwards is like, how did that slip out? I've offended every gender, every group. And there are still things that I could care less. Okay, I will fight to the death, till the death of these bastards who are gender neutral.
Eh.
That drives me out of my flipping mind. I'm an it. I'm a them. I got stuck into an Abbott and Costello routine with my buddy's daughter, who was married to this piece of crap, and thank God she had the brains to get divorced. And I could say it because I love this kid like she is my own kid. And we were talking after the divorce, and I was like, "You ever hear from this idiot?" "Oh yeah, yeah." "They call me once in a while." "Like they who?" "Well, them." "Them what? Who? They're they what?" And then she threw out that, you know, this idiot is now gender neutral, and you know it's only them and they or it or. Honest to God, I like to walk up to this guy, rip his nuts off his body and shove them up his face. Hey, guess what? These are called testicles. You're a man. You're not a they, you loser. You're a man. See? See? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that drives me nuts.
I the way I look at it, Scott, is, you know, I guess from as far as, you know, genders are concerned or, you know, gay, straight, bi, whatever. It's all part of a very colorful tapestry, and I can ignore whatever part I want. That's the great part. Yeah. I don't have to.
And I've got no beef with anything. It's just that. Yeah. Just that one thing. it you know, what they want a bathroom that's got a fucking question mark on it. Yeah. Why do I have to change the way I live because some guy who just
actually, you know, yeah, that whole thing is actually made bathrooms a lot easier because now you don't have to wait for the men's or the women's. There's two bathrooms, has, you know, both on it. Hey, I can use one or the other. Great. I'm not being inconvenienced.
Well, if they're gender neutral, if they go up to a, you know, a door that's got a picture of a guy and a girl, do they just turn around and go piss in the street because they don't identify with either one?
Or maybe there's something in the middle, but as I said, that's not, it's not my problem.
It is, yeah. It's just the wavy lines. Like,
it's like a tilde.
Yeah. Excuse me. Where's the room? Where's the bathroom for?
It's the Jay Leno.
Yeah. How do you shop? Do you go up to Target and see men's, women's? Oh, there it is. The question mark. Yeah. That's where I shop from.
No,
what the hell was that?
Outside.
Oh, okay. No, it's that just, I'm sorry. I know I'm going too right wing, but that drives me nuts. And our audience may have noticed I'm a little further conservative and you're a little further liberal.
But we're not the 5% on opposite ends of the spectrum.
No.
Yeah.
No, absolutely not. But there are just some things that drive me out of my gourd.
Not much. Well, actually a lot does, but.
Yeah. I almost threw up my diet.
I was once accused of, this is way back, like 30, 35 years ago. I was working for a agency in North Jersey. And someone mentioned that, said, yeah, well, you're not controversial, but you sure have your opinions. I said, no, well, don't we all? Don't we all?
Yeah.
We do. And if you can actually sit there and rationally, you know, talk about it, then it's all good. No problem with it.
I don't understand why people, like, you can have a differing opinion, which is cool. You and I have differing opinions on quite a few things. But we will not sit there and just start beating the hell out of the other person until they submit to our way of thinking. You know, I don't understand how people can get so wound up if you don't agree with them and you have just become their enemy. Because, you know, politics, we're not going to go into it. But I've never seen a time where if you don't agree with somebody else's political views, holy God, I mean, they just put you into the catechism. Yep. You're done. I will never talk to you again. I don't understand.
Yeah, and it greatly depends upon, you know, the attitudes of both people, because both one or the other could, you know, walk off in a huff and, you know, be done with it. But if you both go in there with saying like, okay, well, here's what I think about it. And here's, where I stand on it, and I can rationally talk to you why I feel about that without just saying because isn't an argument.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I agree with this because,
no, I agree.
Because, okay, well, you've got to be able to articulate how you arrived at this opinion. If you can't do that, then we cannot have a rational conversation. That's where I kind of draw the line.
I mean, I've gotten into pissing contests with people, you know, they're like, well, why do you think like this? Like, I don't need to explain it to you. I'm 58 years old. That's my opinion. I could give a shit if you agree with it or not. And I do not have to sit there and explain to you why I think this way. Now take this breadstick, shove it up your ass, and get out of the restaurant.
Oh, well, that was rather rude.
That was rather specific.
So you do go to the Olive Garden.
Well, the Olive Garden.
Now, see, we could talk about food. Oh, yes, we could talk about food, Scott. I could really go.
What we eat now compared to
not even just that,
what
just
we used to eat?
Talking about food in general. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I miss frozen dinners that were in the little metal containers.
Yeah, and that cherry cobbler.
Dinner used to be great.
One gigantic plate of cherry cobbler. Keep the turkey, the green beans. God damn it. I don't like that shit. Give me the whole cherry cobbler.
Were those actually birds? You've never had a Swanson's Hungry Man turkey dinner? Oh, hell, I had one a few nights ago. There's like six of them in my freezer right now. But they're not fun.
They were really good when you were a kid because your parents would go out for the evening. Either they're going to a dinner party or they went out for whatever. And so you had a babysitter or you had the older sibling, watching you as the younger kid. And they would always bring out the Swansons. Yeah. Hey kids, special night tonight. You're going to get Swanson, turkey tetrazzini with cherry cobbler. And you're going to enjoy that shit. Cause I know you will.
Now just relax. Cause I'm going to warm up the oven. And in an hour and a half, you're going to have a nice instant dinner.
Don't burn yourself on the aluminum foil now.
Oh my God. Yeah. Remember, God forbid, now I would love to tell one
you
of my
think
kids,
it's
hey,
bad now, kid. You can just jaunt off to Chipotle and get your food. We had
exactly
dinners.
That would take like 45 minutes start to finish before you can finally start eating it. And then you'd pull it out of the oven. You had to get a knife and take that giant piece of crust that formed over the mashed potatoes. You'd cut that shit off of there. It was like a piece of bread.
Like, it's
and
like a
one
piece of
giant glop of corn. And the Salisbury steak that was just swimming in white grease that, wasn't in the oven long enough for the grease to melt all the way. That was, and that they remember they had that little piece of corn on the cob sometimes.
Oh, you're right. Oh, that's disgusting. Oh my God.
Remember?
Oh, wow.
It was. Wow. It was. Cause by the time you got done, all the kernels were just shriveled up into nothing and you'd bite into it. And it would just like mush into your mouth. It was like pre-chewed. It's like somebody chewed it and spit it back onto a cob and stuck it in there. Here you go. Throw some butter and salt on it.
You're going to recycle
it?
Hell no. There's no recycling here. Toss that crap in the garbage.
Hell yeah. I could throw this up and eat it again.
I'm going to flatten it out. Make a tinfoil hat.
Say everyone is so freaking healthy that they never went through the experience of your grandmother coming home with a loaf of fresh Italian bread and just cutting the whole thing in half, putting 4 pounds of butter on it, and just eating it.
That was a
good morning. Yeah. Yeah, my grandmother come back with that little two-wheel pull cart. I just run out and pull that rye bread out. If you need me, I'll be watching cartoons and eating this loaf of bread.
Oh.
Oh. It was nothing but a big pile of crumbs and caraway seeds.
Yeah, the other thing that we used
couch.
To do when the rents went out, it was English muffin pizzas. Yeah,
you I remember
the English muffin. You put tomato sauce on top of it. You put a little wedge of mozzarella cheese, a little bit of olive oil and oregano. Pop those suckers in the broiler. Boom, pizza.
And then turn on a comedy channel, listen to racist jokes for an hour.
Nothing like that back then. You had...
Well, you came from the East Coast.
2, 4, 5, 7, 9, 11, and 13. In UHF, maybe. Yeah, channel 2 was CBS. This is out of New York. 4 was NBC. 5 was, Fox, or actually it was Metro Media. Metro Media Television back in the day. Channel 7 was ABC, and Channel 9 was our equivalent of WGN, so it was WOR. Channel 11 was WPIX, and Channel 13 was the PBS station. And that was it.
And now we have these idiot liberals, yes, I said it, who have the audacity to take off Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner because it's not good for children.
You know what? Actually, you can watch unedited on YouTube, so it's still there.
I forgot. How do you look at, it's not right. He took black paint and he put a dark or a black circle in the ground and then he fell into it. You know, what if the kids try that? Okay, they're going to end up with black paint on their face. You know,
it's a cartoon.
It's paint. It's a cartoon. They're not going to do it. Guess what? Coyotes can't paint.
Yeah,
they
did try to edit out some of the violence, and then people did complain, and they put it back in. Yeah, they did.
Did they really? Because I remember hearing about not long ago. It's like. Less than a year ago, they were getting rid of Yosemite Sam.
Oh, they were not getting rid of Pepe Le Pew because
Le Pew.
You know, he was giving unauthorized touching. Oh, my little chicken, dude.
Yeah. It's a skunk.
Hello, darling. Where are you?
Exactly. It's hilarious. He's a French skunk trying to get laid.
Hey, meow.
What's wrong with that? I mean, I would have more respect if they said, look, you know, it's not that he's doing unwanted advances towards somebody of the opposite sex. I would have more respect if they said, yeah, this skunk is trying to get laid. Maybe that's not the right message for kids. I would respect that more.
You know what? They brought back Animaniacs last year or 2 years ago. And that was like from 1990. Steven Spielberg was behind and Warner Brothers did all that. They're still violent as hell. Still getting smacked above the head and that type of stuff. So that's, you know, whatever. It's fine. But I mean, if you want to watch, you know, unedited Warner Brothers cartoons from back in the day, you can watch it on YouTube. Now, I think the only thing that they do not show, and they took this off decades ago, was anything that was, I think, during the war years that were, I think they did it to support the morale of the troops and the people at home, but it was really kind of, you know, I guess the what's the words I'm looking for, how they presented African Americans. So Asian Americans, that is still kind of verboten because it was really, you know, kind of bad. But, you know, it was Warner Brothers. Warner Brothers was great. I mean, the animation was phenomenal. Carl Stalling's music was incredible. I mean, if you, you know, ever hear that, you know, the real frenetic, you know, 80-piece Warner Brothers orchestra, that was Carl Stalling doing his bit. And it was just fantastic stuff. Just amazing.
Well, my brother and I were talking on one of our rants that we went on, and we came up with a supervillain. for the new, like the next Spider-Man movie or the new Batman movie.
Yeah,
I'm not going to go into detail. His name was Master Beto.
Oh God.
And I'm not gonna go into a description of what his superpower was.
I hope
was.
You were drinking when they came up with this. That's good. That's
no, we weren't. Oh my God, I would love to see that on TV. Yeah, it'd be like the old Batman movies where it'd be like the old Batman movies when remember when they'd kick
and pow.
The thing would come up, pow. Except this would be like splat or splooge.
That would probably belong on Robot Chicken. You've never seen Robot Chicken? Oh,
no.
Dude. No.
I'm sorry. What's Robot Chicken? Yeah.
You have to. It's great. It's, yeah. Actually, right.
I'll check it out.
Your assignment. Go on YouTube, find it was Star Wars where the Emperor gets a call from Darth Vader. Watch it. It's hysterical.
And to both of our listeners, you check it out too, and we'll have a call-in show next time. Yeah, we should have a call-in show, but
we need new equipment. We need some
Yeah, we could do
it decent equipment for that stuff.
And more than two listeners.
Yeah, someone's got to pay for all this stuff. I even got a brand new mic stand.
Okay. I know.
We match.
We match. It's very cool.
Adios.
Okay, let's say adios because I have to go start dinner.
Go start dinner. I got to figure out. I am Bob.
So I am Scott, and he is Bob.
Stay off our lawn.